The special favor of Allah, Holy Allah. The universe is the body and its soul, Holy Allah, Holy Allah.
അൽഹംദുലില്ലാഹി റബ്ബിൽ ആലമീൻ വസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലാ സയ്യിദുൽ മുർസലീൻ അമ്മാ ബാദ് ഫഊദു ബില്ലാഹി മിനശ് ശൈത്വാനിർ റജീം ബിസ്മില്ലാഹിർ റഹ്മാനിർ റഹീം അസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലൈക യാ റസൂലുള്ളാഹ് വഅലാ ആലിക വസ്ഹാബിക യാ ഹബീബല്ലാഹ് അസ്സലാത്തു വസ്സലാമു അലൈക യാ നബിയല്ലാഹ് വഅലാ ആലിക വസ്ഹാബിക യാ നൂറല്ലാഹ് Viewers of Madhi Channel, welcome to this series of programs, Yesterday, Today and Tomorrow. And if this is the first time that you tune in this series of programs, we aim to look at the past. We look at the people of the past, how they lived their lives, try and learn from their lives so that we can make a change today and have a better tomorrow. And let's give you a blessing of reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When we give you these blessings, the intention is that we learn these blessings. As a result of these blessings, we become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We pass these blessings on to others as well, so that it gains an interest in their hearts as well, and they also become habitual in reciting Durood-e Pak. And today is a very easy one to learn, and it's a very easy one to act upon as well. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, said that he who recites Durood-e Pak upon me, he who recites Salat upon me, just three times, only three times during the day, and three times during the night. And there's only one condition. He says, three times during the day and three times during the night with love and devotion. Then Allah Azza wa Jal, through His mercy, will forgive all the sins that He commits you during the day and all the sins that He commits you during the night. Allahu Akbar. It can't get much easier than that, can it? Please make a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak. Don't leave it for another day to make good intentions. Make these good intentions now. Start reciting Durood-e Pak. And if at the beginning of the programs, whenever you watch a program on Madhini Channel, the Mubalik, at the beginning, it will say, As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulullah. If you go to the weekly Ijtimaz, the Mubalik will get you to recite it with him. And there, you've recited Durood-e Pak four times already. And during the program, whenever the Mubalik will say, Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, you also say it as well. And get into a habit of reciting Durood-e Pak. Viewers of Madhini Channel, who are we going to talk about today? Today, we're going to talk about that personality that you've seen, we've been talking a lot about on Madhini Channel. And this person, he lived his life in such a way that not only did he love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but instilled in the hearts of millions of people the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the great personality that we are going to talk about, one aspect, the aspect of his love for the Sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is none other than the Mujaddid of the 13th Islamic century. He was to be known as Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahle Sunnat, Wali Nimat, Azim al-Barakat, Azim al-Martabat, Parwana Shama Risalat, Mujaddid Deen al-Millat, Hamee Sunnat, Mahee Ibadat, Alim al-Shariat, Peer al-Tariqat, Hazrat, Alama, Mawlana, Al-Haj, Al-Qari, Al-Shah, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala. Allahu Akbar. This is the great personality that we are talking about. The enemies of Islam, viewers of Muncham, were trying to empty the love of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam from people's hearts. But Ala Hazrat, Imam Ahmad Raza Khan rahmatullah ta'ala, spent his whole life feeding the world Ishqi Rasool. He fed the world Ishqi Rasool. That's what his whole mission was, to spread, feed the world Ishqi Rasool. And today, even today, his legacy, his teachings, what he has left behind for us, is continuing on that mission of feeding the world Ishqi Rasool. It is stated, viewers of Madhini Channel, that Ala Hazrat rahmatullah ta'ala had great knowledge. And it said that he had a command of over 50 branches of knowledge. He knew the names of 6,000 companions, viewers of the channel. And today, if we ask ourselves, you know, what are our brains filled with? How many of us can even name 10, let alone 6,000, let alone 600, let alone 60, 10? Can we name 10 companions? 10 companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Try and make a list. I mentioned it once before in the program, to make a list of the 10 companions and see if you can do this. But like I said, viewers of Madhini, we're not here to talk about his great knowledge. We're here to talk about his love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the love of his Sunnah. He had this, everything about him was love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And anything that was attributed to it, be it the city of Medina, be it the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, be it anything that was attributed to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had great love for. And he said that when he used to go to sleep, he used to put his index finger and his thumb of his right hand together to make a circle. And in doing so, his hand would say Allah, and he would lie. His blessed body, he would lie in such a way that his body, when you're looking at it from above, would say the word Muhammad, Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the love that he had inside him, Allah. And if you look at his whole life, you will see the love that he had for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you look at his poetry, Hadaki Bakshis, and we mentioned it in previous programs, that his poetry alone, you know, it was ebbing with love for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Every line that he wrote, every lyric that he wrote, every poem that he wrote, was there not only to show the love that he had, but was also in the listeners, in the readers, to enhance their love. And like I said earlier on, his mission was to feed the love. Feed the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hearts of millions. And if you are, I mean, like I said before, viewers of material, you know that my Urdu is not the best. But what little I can understand of the poetry of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, rahmatullah ta'ala, and when people explain it to me, it is mind-blowing that a person can have that mindset, can have that love inside him, that everything around him disappears. Everything around him disappears. He has tunnel vision. Tunnel vision for the one that he loves. And that's all he wants to give to everybody else, the love that he had. If you look at his Quran translation, Kanzul Iman, we mentioned that before. The translation itself, when you read the translation itself fills you with the love of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it said that when people used to criticize him, and curse him, and makes all sorts of allegations against him, he used to show happiness. Yes, he used to show happiness. When people used to criticize him, curse him, and pass all allegations against him, views him on the channel, he used to show happiness. And why was this? Why was this, views him on the channel? Because he said that these people that are now criticizing me, these people used to degrade the status of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And in criticizing me, in putting these allegations against me, at least they're not criticizing my Prophet. Allahu Akbar. That is the kind of love that we need to develop in our hearts, viewers and listeners. And I've said it before that we all say that we love. We say that we love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But when we look at these people, the way that they love the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they loved every aspect about him. I'm going to give you another example of the love that he had for the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Like I said, he had this thing that anything that was associated with the Prophet, anything that was attributed with the Prophet, anything that had a connection to the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he loved. And he stated that when people would come from Hajj, Ala Hazrat would go and visit them. You know, we go and visit people, don't we? Why? Because we want to go there. Number one, we want to congratulate them. We congratulate them on performing the Hajj. We do dua for them that maybe the Hajj be accepted. And we also go there to find out, and they could tell us things, and hopefully we'll get a bit of encouragement to go back and go on the Hajj as well. And at the same time we go there, that hopefully we'll get some Zamzam water to drink, we'll get some khajur from the blessed lands to drink, and maybe they might bless us with a gift or a tasbih, a topi or something. And this is really why we go and visit these people. And sometimes we go and visit these people because, you know, we have to. And if we don't go, then, you know. And so there is a little bit of show there as well. There's a little bit of ostentation there, that we have to go and visit these people because we feel obliged that we have to visit these people. And we'll touch about that a little bit later on. But Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he would go there. And he wouldn't ask, how was your Hajj? Did you find it difficult? What food did you eat? Which hotel did you stay in? What was it like there? Was it busy there? Was there a lot of traffic there? A lot of people there? Was it hard to throw the stones? Was it hard to do this? No, he didn't ask any questions. One question. Did you visit the resting place of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in Medina? Did you visit the city of Medina? That was his question. Allahu Akbar. That was his question, that when he asked people, did you visit the city of Medina? And when, listen to this, viewers of my channel, when the person used to respond that, yes, I was blessed with visiting the city of Medina, what did Ala Hazrat do? Now remember this, viewers of my channel. Ala Hazrat was the Mujaddid of his time, the Imam of his time, the greatest scholar of his time. So he had a status. He had a great status. You know, some people that when they pass away, then people raise the status of people, yeah? The status is raised after they passed away. People do not realize how good they were until they passed away. Yeah? But with Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, that even when he was alive, people realized that this personality was a unique person. And people would travel many, many distances to come and visit this person. Now this person, who was the Mujaddid of his time, the Imam of his time, the greatest scholar of his time, when he found out that somebody had visited the city of Medina, he would get up, he would go onto the floor, and he would kiss the feet of that person who visited Medina. And he would say to himself that these feet, Allahu Akbar, these feet have been blessed with touching the ground of Medina. Maybe you might call it extreme, but love has no limits. Maybe nowadays we say, that's a bit extreme, isn't it? I did that, that's a bit extreme, that's a bit extreme. But a person that's deeply in love, there are no limits. There are no boundaries that you can say that, you know, I've loved him to the extreme. No, you can go further, you can go further, you can go further. And these people, they didn't feel that they were special. They didn't feel that they were great lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And it's been mentioned before many, many times on Madri channel, where when Sayyidi Ala Hadrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he also went to perform the Hajj. And he wanted to see the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own eyes. And he sat there in front of the Rawza Rasul. He sat there in front of the blessed resting place of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he would recite these couplets. But then a thought came to his mind that, who are you? Who are you? You are just. And he humbled himself. He lowered himself. And he said to himself that there are many people like you. Why should you be blessed? And this humbleness, this sincere humbleness, not like we, like I said earlier, not like us, where we have this ostentation inside us, this sincere humbleness was what enabled him to be successful. And he was blessed with seeing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with his own eyes. But it was this humbleness, viewers of my channel. Nowadays, unfortunately, all of our acts, all of our deeds, they are covered in ostentation. We go to the masjid for namazi janazah, we go to the Qabristan, we go wherever we go to these places, we visit someone that's sick. Why do we go there? We go there because we feel compelled that we have to go there. Because we need to show face that we go there. Because we want that person, because it's an important person, to know that I've been there. So we're not going there for the pleasure of Allah Azza wa Jalla, we're going there to tick the box. I went there. I was at the namazi janazah. And when the namazi janazah takes place, we're at the front. We make sure that people can see us. Yeah, I'm here. Look, you can see me. I'm here. Yeah. And we'll even have our pictures taken next to the coffin so that people will see that you were there. We'll go to the graveyard and we'll hold the shovel and make sure that someone takes a picture of us holding the shovel so that they can see, oh, we participated in this as well. All of these things that we do, viewers on the channel, why? We're not doing it with sincerity. And if you look at the people of the past, they were so sincere. The likes of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, the sincerity that he had. And that sincerity enabled him to ignore what people thought about him. He ignored what people thought of. Why? Because his whole soul mission in life, his sole mission in life was to love the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hearts of the people. And today, 102 years after he passed away, people around the world, if they have love in their hearts, if they have an ounce of love in their hearts, in the majority of the cases, it's through the teachings of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat. And Dawat Sami, why? You see the love that Amir al-Sunnah has for Ala Hazrat. Why? Because he instilled that love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. Viewers of Inshallah, we're going to take a small break now. Let's hopefully learn something new today. And then we'll come back and continue with this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam.
Once a pious man was walking through the valley of Al-Hamra, going to the blessed city of Madinatul Munawwara. At that place was a place where a lot of bandits would be. So he, because of the fear of the bandits, he missed his Isha, four sunnats. And then after offering his salah, he went to sleep. That night, he saw the beautiful Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in his dream. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to him and said to him, that the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, do not miss their sunnah. He fell into the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Who are you? Please tell me." Again, he saw the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the dreams, and he fell into the feet of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, "Please tell me who you are." Again, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam do not miss their sunnah. When he awoke, he remembered, and out of love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he recited these beautiful poems. Aj sikh mitran di vaderi hai, kyun dilri udas ganeri hai, loon loon vich shok changeri hai, aj naina ne laiyan kyun jadiyan, subhanallah ma ajmalaka, ma ahsanaka, ma akmalaka, kithe mehre ali, kithe teri sana, gustakh akhiyan, kithe ja adiyan. Subhanallah Azza wa Jal. My dear Islam brothers, do you know who this young man was? Who this pious person was? Yes, he was Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, of Golra Sharif. Sayyiduna Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib, Rahmatullahi Ta'ala Ali, was born on the 1st of Ramadan, 1275 Hijri, on Monday, 1859. After 25 generations, Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala his lineage goes back to Sayyiduna Ghaus al-Azam radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, and then 36 generations back his lineage goes to the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam's grandson Hazrat Sayyiduna Imam Hassan radiyallahu ta'ala anhu. Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala ali had a very beautiful and strong memory. He says that he would read his lessons of the Quran by looking at it just once, and he would memorize it to his memory. And when he finished his Quran by looking by Nazara, that same day he was also a hafiz of the Quran as well. His teacher would ask him, "My son, do you do muta'ala? Do you study your lessons?" Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he says, "I didn't even know what the word studying meant." That's how young he was. And he says that whatever lessons his teacher would tell him, he would go home and memorize them, and he would read them to his teacher. He was a very good God-fearing person, and he was such an ibadat guzar, such a worshipper, that he spent his days and nights in reciting durood upon the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and also crying in the fear of Allah azza wa jal. He was a very good hafiz of the Quran. He was also a kind-hearted person who helped every person that he would meet. He would love spending money and also building and running religious institutes like all the awliya-i kiram. Peer Mehr Ali Shah Sahib rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, throughout all his life, helped the deen of Islam through his teachings and also through his beautiful character. He died on the 29th of Safar al-Muzaffar, 1356 Hijri, being the 11th of May 1937. His Mazar-e-Pak, his shrine, is in Islamabad in Pakistan.
Sallu alal Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You know, there, once again, you saw that clip there from Hafiz Arafakud, and that is something that I feel that's missing with us, that we don't know about our rich heritage. We don't know about our people of the past. You know, and only when we learn a little bit about them, then we find the interest that, wow, these people were there. We had such great people of the past, such true people that sacrificed their lives for the sake of Islam. They struggled and strived. They existed. And if you find out about one person, yeah, and you find out a little bit about him, like now you finally go out about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, and as Hafiz Sahib mentioned, Peer Mehr Ali Shah Rahmatullah Ta'ala, you find out a little bit about their lives, then think to yourself, how many others are there? There's thousands out there. We have so such a rich heritage, viewers of the channel. We have such great role models there, and their life stories have been preserved for a reason, so that we can learn from their lives. Learn from their lives how to have a better life, how to make a change in our life, how to solve the problems that we are facing, so that we have a better life and we have a better tomorrow. So we need to learn about our rich heritage. And it pleased me to see that clip. These are the sort of things that I feel maybe as the youth in general, and I'm not young anymore, but still, we're not connected with our past because we know very little about it. And when we find out about something, then, oh, okay, we become interested. But there's so much more that we can find out. But today, viewers on the channel, we're talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah Ta'ala, the love that he had for the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and love And also another incident I'm going to mention a little bit later on, the love that he had for his firm belief. You know, people, he had that firm belief that if the Prophet said that if this you do this, this will not happen to you. Or if you do this, this will happen to you. And he had firm belief in it blindly. If the Prophet said it, enough for me. It was enough for him. He was at someone's house. And when, you know, like when the dishes are being served, and normally they bring out the salad first and then they put all the other dishes out. Well, the salad was brought out. And when the salad was brought out, there was something called kakari, which is like a thin cucumber. And he picked up one piece and he ate it. Then he picked up the second piece and ate it. Then he picked up the third piece and he ate it. And then he called for the salad plates to be brought in front of him. And he ate all of the kakari. All of this cucumber. He didn't eat anything else because he was busy eating this. And obviously the people, they were astounded that one, he ate so much because Sayyidina Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, he ate very little. And two, he only ate cucumber, all the other dishes were there. Why was this? And afterwards they asked Azur, why only the kakari? Why not anything else? And he said, I picked up one piece and I realized it was bitter. It was sour, it had gone off a little bit. And kakari, eating this form of cucumber, is a sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And two things entered my mind. Number one, I didn't want anybody eating something that was the sunnah and then spitting it out. And secondly, I didn't want anybody eating it for the first time and thinking, oh, is this what it tastes like? And never eating it again because this is the sunnah. So I didn't want anybody to fall into that. So I decided to eat all of this myself. What is that, viewers of nature? That is preserving the respect of the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was another incident that happened. Where there was a plague in the city. A plague had happened in the city where he was staying. And he also developed the symptoms of this plague. And this plague was basically they had like boils inside the mouth, yeah? Started to swell inside the mouth. And these sort of things were happening inside the mouth. The lumps were happening in there. And the lumps were happening in the throat as well. And the physician was brought to see him. And when this physician came to him and saw him, and they confirmed that Sayyidina Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, he has this illness that spread all around the city. He said, no, I've not got this illness. And they said to him, how can you be so sure? And he said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you see anybody afflicted with a certain illness, recite this dua when you see that person and that illness will never afflict you. I saw a person with that illness. I recited that dua. That illness cannot affect me. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. Think of the iman that he had. And he said that they were shocked by this. And he heard a voice from the unseen. And the voice from the unseen said to him, miswak and black salt. So he got miswak. He put black salt on it. And he used the miswak on his teeth. And then he spat out. And as soon as he spat out, blood came out, another bit came out, and immediately the lumps inside his mouth and his throat disappeared. Iman. Iman on the sayings of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if you look in our history viewers and channel, the companions of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they didn't ask how, what, where, why, when. You know, nowadays if someone says to you, oh, it's sunnah to do this, it's sunnah to do that, then people say, well, why? Tell me the benefits. Tell me what I'm going to get out of it. Can you tell me the scientific benefits of doing this or doing that? You claim to be lovers. We all claim to be lovers of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Did the lovers ask these questions? Allahu Akbar. And Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, he had this iman inside him, this belief inside him, that if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam spoke, it was haq. End of. No doubts. And ask ourselves, do we have that iman inside us? Do we have that love inside us? Because a true lover will believe anything that the person that he loves says. He has full faith in that person. That whatever that person says, it is the truth. And Sayyidina Ala Hazrat, whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had that firm faith inside him. Another incident, I think I mentioned it before. Well, when he was coming back from the Hajj, when he was on the ship, and the ship, a storm came. And the captain said that we all need to, you know, basically get your coffins on because, you know, we're going to be lucky if we survive this storm. And so panic broke out and people were screaming and shouting and running around and Sayyidina Ali was sitting there. What's happening, Azur? Can you not see what's happening? He said, don't worry, nothing will happen. Don't worry, nothing will happen. Allahu Akbar. And he said to him, but the captain, yeah, he's the captain of the ship. Don't worry, nothing will happen. How can you be so sure, they said. And he said, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us a dua. I've made that dua. Nothing will happen to us on this journey. Allahu Akbar. And a short time later, the storm abated and they got to the final destination. Viewers of Mother Channel, what is this? That iman, that love, that if the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught us anything, these true lovers believe that it was truly beneficial for them. And without doubt, it is beneficial for them. But do we think like that? Do we not ask a million questions nowadays? But why should we use the miswak? Why should I wear the imam sharif? Why should I have the beard? And I've had people say to me, oh, you know, the reason why you wear the imam sharif is because at that time it was in the Arabian desert and there were sanders, so they used to get the sand and put it over the face, the imamah, to block them out, and the beard was there to protect you and to keep the heat off you, and it was to do this and it was to do that. And they'll come up with all sorts of reasons. But the true lovers didn't ask any questions, they just did it. And nowadays, viewers of the channel, generally speaking, we ask too many questions. And that is telling us what our iman is like. And just to give you another example of Yuzum on the channel. There was a person, he accepted Islam. He was new to Islam. The month of Ramadan comes, and the Muslims say to him, that during this month you have to fast. And he said, okay. Tell me more. And they said, well, between dawn and dusk you have to fast. He said, okay. Why? Why do I have to fast? Now, the first person they asked this question, they said to me, you know, well, what it is, there's a scientist in Scandinavia, and this person there has said that within our bodies, toxins build up in our body, which are unhealthy for us. And when you fast, that fasting enables these toxins to be burned and released from your body, and it's better for your health. And that's why we fast. And this new Muslim, he thought, I'm not happy with the answer. So then he went to another person. And he said to this person, why is it we fast? And he said, well, you know what it is? We fast because there's people around the world that are poor, yeah, that don't have food that we have. And by fasting, it'll make you feel like they feel. And when you feel like they feel, then inshallah, you'll try and help them because, you know, you've never been hungry in your life. So having that hunger inside you, having a little bit of suffering inside you, it'll make you think like them. And he thought, okay, fair enough. But he said, I'm not happy with that answer. So then he went to a scholar and he said to the scholar, can you tell me why? Why do Muslims fast? I want to know why Muslims fast. And the scholar replied simply, because Allah Azza wa Jal told us to fast. And a new Muslim said, that is all I needed to know. If my creator told me to fast, that is all I need to know. That was enough. And nowadays, viewers on the channel, we ask too many questions. Why do we need to fast? Why do we need to pay the zakat? Why do we need to go on the hajj? Why do we need to read 5 times a day? Why do we need to do this? Why do we need to do that? And if you're not careful, viewers in the channel, these whys that you keep on asking, if you're not careful, these whys can take you out of the fold of Islam. Because all of a sudden you start thinking to yourself, well, there's no need to do this. Well, your creator has told you. You do not know more than your creator. Your creator has told you to pray 5 times a day. And if you start rejecting that, then ask yourself, where does that lead you to? Viewers of the channel, we're just going to take a break now. And we're going to have a kalam. So let's go to the kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Allahu ya Rahman. مفلوج ہوئے دل ذوقِ تم تماشا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر پہنچا جو حرم کی چوکھٹ پر ایک ابر کرم نے گھیر لیا پہنچا جو حرم کی چوکھٹ پر ایک ابر کرم نے گھیر لیا باقی نہ رہا پھر ہوش مجھے کیا مانگا کیا کیا بھول گیا باقی نہ رہا پھر ہوش مجھے کیا مانگا کیا کیا بھول گیا کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر احساس کے پردے لہرائے ایمان کی حرارت تیز ہوئی احساس کے پردے لہرائے ایمان کی حرارت تیز ہوئی سجدوں کی تڑپ اللہ اللہ سر اپنا سودا بھول گیا سجدوں کی تڑپ اللہ اللہ سر اپنا سودا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا جب پہلی نظر جس وقت دعا کو ہاتھ اٹھے یاد آنا سکا جو سوچا تھا جس وقت دعا کو ہاتھ اٹھے یاد آنا سکا جو سوچا تھا اظہار عقیدت کی دھن میں اظہار تمنا بھول گیا اظہار عقیدت کی دھن میں اظہار تمنا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر ہر وقت برستی ہے رحمت کعبے پہ جمیل اللہ اللہ ہر وقت برستی ہے رحمت کعبے پہ جمیل کتنا بھول گیا، آسی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا، خاکی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا، آسی ہوں میں کتنا بھول گیا۔
کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر،
کیا چیز ہے دنیا بھول گیا،
کعبے پہ پڑی جب پہلی نظر،
اللہ
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ یو نو وین یو لسن ٹو دا کلام اینڈ اٹ ٹاکس اباؤٹ سینگ دا کعبہ فار دا فسٹ ٹائم، اینڈ اوبویسلی اف یو آر بلیسڈ ود بین ایبل ٹو بین دیئر ونس ان یور لائف ایٹ لیسٹ، دین لسننگ ٹو دا کلام ول میک یو ریممبر دیٹ ویری فسٹ ٹائم دیٹ یو وینٹ دیئر۔ Your mind just doesn't seem to function anymore. You know, I remember in the booklet of Sabi Milusum, he says that when you're going there, keep your eyes lowered, and as you feel that you are close to the Kaaba, then raise your hands and do the dua. And inshallah, your duas are accepted. And when you're going there, you make all of these things that I'm going to do this, I'm going to say this, I'm going to make that dua. But when you look at the Kaaba for the first time, it kind of like the person said the in the poetry, that kya socha tha, you know, what I thought and what I thought I was going to say, and then everything just goes from your mind. I pray to Allah Azza wa Jalla that every Muslim around the world is blessed at least once in their lifetime to make that sacred journey and visit the city of Makkah and the sacred city of Medina as well. Allahu Akbar. Can't even think about what I was talking about today. Ah, gee, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, another true lover of these cities. And as you mentioned earlier on, that when somebody would come back from the city of Medina, he would kiss the feet. But he had this thing where he loved everything attributed to the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. We mentioned earlier on that the city of Medina, the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that complete faith in whatever the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. But he also had that love of the Ahle Bayt, those people that are related through blood lineage to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And if he ever found out that anybody was a Sayyid, he would give them utmost respect. There was a famous incident in which Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was invited to someone's house. And in then times they would send a palanquin. And what a palanquin is basically a box and two poles going through it. And people would carry the box. And so the guest would get inside the box, and it was furnished, whatever it was inside the cushions. And these four people would carry the guest to the place. They didn't have cars and transport them. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was invited to someone's house, and a palanquin was sent there. And when Sayyidi Ala Hazrat came out, obviously, because, like I said earlier on, he was such a famous people, people gathered there just to see him. And he got inside the palanquin. He got inside the palanquin. The palanquin was lifted onto the shoulders of these four people. They took a few steps. And as soon as they took a few steps, Sayyidi Ala Hazrat said, stop. Stop. Put me down. Put me down. So they stopped, put him down. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat came out and looked at the four people that had been carrying them. And he said, tell me the truth. Tell me the truth. Which one of you is a Sayyid? I can smell the beautiful smell of a Sayyid. Allahu Akbar. Smelling the beautiful smell of a Sayyid. Allahu Akbar. And one of the people came forward and said, Azur, I'm a Sayyid. I'm a laborer. This is my means of earning my halal income. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat immediately started crying and seeking forgiveness from the person. Please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. To the extent that a commotion broke out and people gathered, what is God this commotion out? Because this laborer was saying, well, Hazur, it's okay, it's my job, it's my job. And he said, no, no, please forgive me, please forgive me. On the day of judgment, when the Prophet of Allah, when I meet the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he says to me, were my children there to carry you on their shoulders? Is that what they were there for? What answer will I give on that day? Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, he took his Imam Sharif off and put it at the feet of the Sayyid, the laborer, and said, please forgive me, please forgive me. And this laborer said, it's not an issue, it's okay. And then Sayyidi Ala Hazrat insisted, he insisted that this person get inside the palanquin and he carry him. And he carried this person, like I said to you, the Imam of his time, the Mujaddid of his time, the greatest scholar of his time. But this is the love that he had for the great Al-Bayt, the Al-Bayt, those people that are connected through blood to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can see that we're talking about a lineage of 1400 years, 1300 years when he was alive, 1300 years through that lineage, and he has that much love and that much respect for the descendants of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You can see from that alone the love that he must have had for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We're just going to take a small break now, and after the break, I'm going to give you two incidences that show the iman, the faith, the strong faith that Sayyidi Ala Hadrat had, rahmatullah ta'ala, in whatever he was taught and the knowledge that he had. And you know, there's a saying that people that run after the world, they never catch it. The people that run after the akhirat, the world runs after them. I'll tell you more after the break. Let's go to the break, inshallah, and then when we come back, I'll show you these two events, inshallah. Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Father boarded the train along with four kids. He sat down quietly on one of the seats and started looking outside the window. The kids were extremely naughty. They started to make a lot of noise as soon as the train was on the way. They all started to run around here and there and bother other passengers. They were messing around and being a nightmare and creating so much noise. All the passengers were furious, thinking that what kind of father he is. Neither does he stop them nor does he say anything. Someone's thinking that he has no feelings and someone thinks that he's useless. Finally, when it crossed all the limits, then a person walked up to the father furiously and said in a furious tone, "Your children are a nightmare. Why don't you tell them off?" The father looked at that person and his eyes were filled with tears. He said, "This morning, their mother passed away. I am taking them there. I don't possess any courage to say anything to them. If you can stop them, then please do so." All the passengers went quiet all of a sudden. Within one moment, the whole scene was changed. The same naughty kids were now beloved to everyone. Every eye was soaked. Everyone was being affectionate towards them. They were embracing them. In our lives, it's not necessary that facts are exactly as we perceive them, but rather, facts can also be those that we are unable to perceive. Remember, take your time in establishing an opinion. Spend some time establishing a good presumption before an ill assumption.
Sallu alal Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The last 5 minutes, I think I've just to cover these two incidents. One incident, he was on a train, traveling on a train back to Bareilly Sharif, and stopped at a place called Philippit. I think that's the name of the station. And when he stopped there, if you've ever traveled in a train in the Indian subcontinent, then what happens is, some stations they stop literally for seconds, some stations for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, some stations for 30, 40 minutes. Now at this particular train station, the train only was going to stop for 2 minutes. But the time for Maghrib, the time for Salah was there. So Sayyidi Ala Hadrat Rahmatullah and his followers, they got off the train, they put their mats on the ground, and they started the namaz. And one of his followers, they said that as soon as I joined the Jamaat, the whistle was being blown. The whistle was being blown that the train needs to go. Okay? And what happens is you see people that if they do read the namaz, as soon as the whistle's blown, they break the namaz and they jump on the train because the train's moving. But Sayyidi Ala Hadrat didn't do that. And Sayyidi Ala Hazrat Rahmatullah, his namaz was not like our namaz. What happened was, for some reason, the engine cut out on the train. The train could not be started. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat continued reading his namaz. The train, the whistle's blown, the green flag's gone, everything's gone, everybody else is on the train, but the train's not moving. So they called the person that was the waved the flag, he went to the front and said, what's happened, what's happened? He said, something's wrong with the train, it's not working. And it stated that as soon as Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, the train started. Allahu Akbar. And it's true views of my channel. They say that these people that run after the dunya, they never catch it. But those people who run after the akhirah, the dunya runs after them. And again, that mindset that we need to develop, viewers of inshallah, that no matter what, no matter what the situation, we shouldn't miss our namaz. And that shows that tranquility that he had in following that. The iman that he had as well, viewers of inshallah. One final incident I want to mention. He was discussing, I had a discussion, he met with a lot of educated people as well. And he met with an astrologer, a person that studies the stars. Knew, you know, the positions of the clouds, from the position of the clouds and the position of the stars, they can actually work out the weather report. And he met someone that was an expert in that. And he said to the individual, that tell me, you know, when is it going to rain next? We've not had rain for a while. And he said, Azur, according to my calculations and the positions of the stars and the clouds and this and all these sort of things, under the current climate, the pressure, whatever, whatever, he came up with all this, it's not going to rain for another couple of months. Sayyidi Allah Hazrat said to him, that do you realize, if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, it can rain straight away. This is the power of the Creator. If He wills, it can rain right now. Now this person, he said, well, that's all well and good, but I'm telling you, okay, that under the current situation, it's not going to rain for at least 2 months. Sayyidi Allah Hazrat went up to the clock. The clock, it was not like the digital clock, it was the old style clocks with the hands. The clock was reading 11:15. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat said to him that, how long will it take for this clock to reach 12 o'clock? And he said, 45 minutes. And he said, will it reach 12 o'clock before 45 minutes? He said, no, it's not possible. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat with his finger, pushed the clock around, and it read 12 o'clock. And he said, you said it wasn't going to read 12 o'clock for another 45 minutes. Here it's reading 12 o'clock. And he said, but, he said, no buts. Yeah. In the same way that I can make this clock read 12 o'clock, in the same way if Allah Azza wa Jal wills, it will rain straight away. The iman that he had, within a short space of time, a few minutes later, it started to rain. This is the iman that he had, viewers of the channel. So viewers of the channel, please realize that as Muslims, we have such a rich heritage, such great personalities of the past. The likes of Sayyidi Ala Hazrat, we need to learn about their lives. We need to learn about their teachings. We need to read their books. We need to learn how they love the Prophet of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and try and follow in those footsteps. Because these people, you know, we talk all that, these people that were from 500 years ago, 1,000 years ago, 1,200 years ago. Sayyidi Ala Hazrat was only just over 100 years ago he was with us. These are our generation. And if you want to see a true lover of our generation, then look no further than Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami. See how they lived their lives. And in the same way that we are sitting here today, viewers on the channel, talking about Sayyidi Ala Hazrat and about his lives and his teachings. In generations to come, in the next century, people will be sitting in similar places and they will be talking about the lives and the teachings of Amir al-Sunnah, the founder of Dawat Islami. How his mission was to instill the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hearts of people. How his mission was to spread the Quran and the Sunnah. How his mission was to live his whole life in doing this mission and fulfilling this mission. And viewers of the channel, we are the fortunate ones. We are the fortunate ones, viewers of the channel, that we have an opportunity to sit with the likes of Amir al-Sunnah. In the future, people will talk. We read in the books of the past, we read about those people that sat with the great pious people of the past. In the future, we'll talk about those people that had the opportunity to sit with Amir al-Sunnah. Viewers of Mitchell, please, if you have an opportunity, go and sit in the blessed court of Amir al-Sunnah. And if you cannot do that, then at least every Saturday night, Amir al-Sunnah on the Madri Muzaka, sit and listen his Madri Pearls of Wisdom, inshallah. So until the next time, viewers of Mitchell, keep tuned and keep watching Madri Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
The special favor of Allah. Allah. The universe is the body and its soul. Allah.